Hey everyone, I'm diving into the unknown. The unknown of what? I don't know, but we're going to find out. I'm Cassie, your host, and I will be reviewing the sequel to 2013's Frozen. Welcome back to Disflix Tickets, an extra episode from Disflix and Tidbits, where I, Cassie, tell you all about how I felt about the newest Disney film that came out in theaters. Oops. Any warning for those who are listening to this before watching the movie, I tend to separate any spoilers towards the end of the podcast in case you don't want to know any of the details that happen. I aptly name it the spoiler zone and will let you know when it starts. During my hiatus from podcasting, I missed many a movie that came out in theaters. One such movie I made a big deal about not watching the trailers to. So a little over a year ago, I published episode 12, Remaking a Villain, with guest Josh from the Disnoids podcast. Besides talking about those villains, the first half of the episode, I had recruited three fellow podcasters to review a trailer that just came out. That trailer was to Frozen 2. For those that are new to Disflix and haven't gone back to my older episodes, last year I vowed not to watch any trailers for Frozen 2, because I believe that Disney movie trailers actually, this is kind of true for most movie trailers nowadays, tend to give away most of the plot of the story and then just continue to beat you down with more and more trailers, either giving away the best or the funniest parts of the movie. So I chose not to watch them for one movie, which could have been the stupidest thing that I have ever done. When you are a Disney freak, a mom of a toddler now just getting into movies, have Disney-loving friends around you, and hosting a podcast, a Disney movie podcast, it was downright rough. Just try picturing me, matrixing through the thousands of times the trailers have played from any kind of entertainment outlet. I honestly thought going to the theaters was going to be the toughest part, but not so much because I can just arrive late and miss the previews, even if they were the best part of going to the movies sometimes. It was YouTube that was the biggest problem when I was getting closer to the release date. There were some ads that I just could not skip, and I could hear that haunting unknown scream in the background. I gotta tell you, that sound is truly haunting when you have no context for it at all. But I did it. I completed the challenge. I did not watch a single trailer at all. I overheard some of the audio by accident, like the unknown scream and some sound effects, but overall, I call it a win. Can I claim my prize now? No prize? Alright, whatever. Yeah, I watched the film on opening weekend with my son for his first theater experience. And I think I was a little bit more excited than he was, honestly. So, do you want to know a secret? I have yet to see any of those trailers. Still. Which will change by the end of this episode. After watching the film way back in November, I just had no need to go back and watch those trailers to see what I missed. The trailers are essentially just there to get you to watch the movie in the first place, and they don't really have any usefulness afterwards. Until now, if you can call it useful. I want to complete this no trailer challenge fully. I want to document and share with you what the whole experience was like, and that does mean going back to the very first trailers of Frozen 2, watching them, going back to the episode 12, and listening for the first time to my wonderful friends who provided a trailer review for me when I could not, and actually sum everything up for you in a tidy little ball. Because I don't want to leave anything left over from a challenge I started for myself over a year ago and provide no results whatsoever. So this episode of Disflix Tickets will be a little longer than usual with the addition of Frozen 2 trailer talk. But before I get into the review, I want to talk about the trailers. Start from the beginning and work our way through this thing. Avoiding to watch a certain trailer for almost the entirety of a whole year doesn't really get you hyped for this movie. I mean, that's what trailers are for, just to get you hyped for that movie. I kind of got a sense of anxiety for this movie instead, and not in the ways that you think. I wasn't worried about the movie at all. It just really didn't cross my mind. It was just the billowing anxiety of whether or not that trailer was going to pop up when I least expected it. Let me tell you, I got a lot of weird looks from my husband when a trailer would pop up on TV, and I instantly changed the channel, or I would just instantly hide under a blanket or walk out of the room or look like I was suffocating my phone under a pillow because it decided to show up on my YouTube again. My husband would just sigh and think I was the weirdest woman in the world. Over time, he was playing along too and would change the channel for me or hold up a pillow to block my view if it did come on. And like I said before, the theater was the least of my problems. I would just show up late or take an extra couple minutes to go get movie snacks or something during the previews. If you plan on doing a no trailer challenge for yourself, just be aware of what could spoil it for you. That is the main thing that you have to think about. I'm sure you are, unlike me, have already cut cable. Good. You eliminated 85% of your problems that I had. Disney Channel and Disney Junior are on most of the times in my house because I do have a toddler. And I kind of like watching some of the shows on there too. Of course, Disney is going to show the trailers to the movies that they have on their own networks. And I think one of the big official trailers was shown during a college basketball game too at one point on major stations during primetime. Sports is on a lot in my house too, so I had to be aware of what was happening. I had to be aware that this Frozen 2 trailer was going to happen. Having a Disney movie podcast made me a little bit more aware, even though I had to use social media and mute all those Frozen 2 tags and hashtags out there, you know. So I'm sure Hulu with ads and the major network streaming services that show ads during the timed commercial breaks can be a problem too. I remember watching The Masked Singer on the Fox app and having to leave the room a couple times because they were showing the Frozen 2 trailer during that. And I know I should probably pay more to have no ads, but they always find a way. They always do. YouTube ads, like I said, are another problem. Sometimes you can skip them, sometimes you can't. And if you are an avid YouTube watcher like me, that will be a big problem as well, especially when the movie you're looking forward to is about to be released, because Disney likes to push those hard. They went all out in those last 2 weeks before the movie came out. And Disney has a right to do this. I can't blame them for wanting to do this, but I didn't notice how much they played it until I was trying to avoid the trailer. It's just insane. Another big problem is I picked a popular film. And it probably was one of the most anticipated Disney films of the year, which adds more to the challenging part. I know The Lion King and Toy Story 4 were other big contenders, but at the end of the year, they had Frozen 2 to push to all the younger audiences, and they had Star Wars to push to that side of the spectrum too. So they were gonna push it. You know, if I would have picked, say, Maleficent 2, I think I would have had no problem whatsoever. I didn't go watch that movie. I only saw probably one trailer for that movie. And even though I have this podcast, I just was not interested in watching it, and I did not go see it. It was the only Disney film of 2019 that I did not see. I've yet to see it, and I should end up seeing it. I will, because I watched the first one, and I guess I have to complete that too. So to keep things in mind, if you ever want to avoid trailers in the future, hopefully you will get through your own challenge a lot more smoothly than I did with all these warnings. Especially in a social media type of culture that we live in now, it gets a little harder because people are always out there being the first of watching something and spoiling things. I remember when The Force Awakens came out and that big surprise that happened in the middle of the film, like, came out on Twitter, like, within seconds of the movie coming out. Yeah, nobody likes to keep spoilers to themselves anymore, so you need to watch out for that too. Yeah, just watch out for social media altogether. And if you do decide to do the challenge, let me know how you do. What movie did you decide to do this challenge on? Is it an anticipated movie, or is it a small little film that you know that have trailers coming out, but you just want to avoid it? You know, it is kind of fun, and I think in the end, it's worth it. And I know a couple people on Twitter that do this as well on their own Disney podcasts to avoid these trailers. But it is tough. It is tough when you're looking at films like Frozen 2 or Toy Story 4 or the Lion King. Although, how can you be spoiled from The Lion King when it's a remake? But you know what I mean. Like Onward. Did you avoid trailers for Onward and you're now going to see it? Let me know if you did complete this challenge. I would be really interested. You can just DM me and tell me how it went, or if you want to come onto this podcast and tell me your experience too, that would be great. So now on to that first official Frozen 2 teaser trailer that was shown on February 13th, 2019. Let me just say, wow, I really do like this teaser trailer. It's beautiful in so many ways. There are no words, which adds to the mystery of the movie while trying to show off the animation masterpiece of this world around them. I love when Disney does this. Disney shows how they have grown with their craft by first showing how the characters have grown and changed along with the elements of the world and story. This trailer makes you ask, why is Elsa trying to run across that ocean? What's with the diamonds? Did Anna let her hair down? Kristoff has an army of reindeer. Who are these new people? Are they flying? Why is Anna sad? And who is she trying to attack? And when did Kristoff get a sword? There's so many questions in my head, and this is a perfect teaser trailer. This trailer doesn't follow the trend that the other blockbusters and hyped up films do, starting with, you know, that remix version of an old song and an Inception wah here and there, and then complete silence and blackness. They have a simple vocal song that was very reminiscent from the opening of the first Frozen film. It's that playing with the music in the background by showing these beautiful scenes. Just a little tidbit of what the movie is about. It's something familiar yet vaguely different. It invites you into the story, and I would have without a doubt have been hooked and hyped for this movie from this trailer alone. It's a good trailer. I like when they do this. So another big noticeable thing about this teaser trailer is that many of these scenes don't end up making it into the final film. Like the scene with Kristoff racing the reindeer off towards the camera, Anna looking over the balcony to all those colorful ice diamonds. There is a scene like that, but it's completely different. It's slightly different. The kids playing in the leaves, the frozen gang looking over the whole land, and Anna with the sword. Which, this kind of happens from time to time, especially with an animated film like this. There's so many months before the release date, they're still trying to edit things, they're still trying to change the story, which is okay by me. I would actually much rather prefer this. It reminds me of the earlier days of Pixar where they would make new footage just for the trailers in order for the final film to be a complete surprise. I remember watching the trailer for A Bug's Life. It was completely different. I think it was just Heimlich the Caterpillar and Flick the Ant. If you watch the movie, they don't really interact that much alone together, but it was those two alone. I like how they just, like, distract you from what the real story was. Just from that trailer, you can tell that Disney was really excited and proud about that Elsa ocean scene. Because if you notice from all the trailers and any snippets of it, that they used it a lot. They were pretty proud of it. And it shows, and they should be proud of it. It's gorgeous. It looks like an actual ocean. Yeah, nothing is spoiled, and you're just wanting more from this trailer. It's awesome. As you can tell, I did watch three other Frozen 2 trailers to get the sense of everything. Each one getting longer than last. Each one getting into the trailer trope territory by following the same formula, by adding narration to it, building up a false tension, and showing way too much of the plot. And a lot of that unknown sing-song voice in the background, that's what was kind of spoiled for me, but without context, I had no idea what it was. And I remember when the first Frozen came out, the trailers really catfished everyone. Go back and watch the very first, not the teaser trailer with Sven and Olaf, but the very first trailer of Frozen. It is completely different from the end result of what you got. Let's see, the trailers made it seem like Elsa was the big bad villain of the whole thing, and she froze everything on purpose, and all Anna had to do was just calm her down and all would be well. It was very happy, very upbeat, and albeit a bit goofy, but we got a completely different tone of the film. I remember being completely surprised when I finally watched it, because I thought Elsa was the bad guy. I thought she was evil. I thought she was mean, and she just wanted to freeze everything, and Anna was just the lighthearted protagonist. But no, it was completely different. Now, with 6 years from the first film, two short films, and a LEGO Adventure miniseries, let's see how much the Frozen gang has changed, and if Frozen 2 was good enough for me to avoid everything about it before actually watching it. After these messages.
Hey, this is Rob. You may know me from the Disnoids podcast, but guess what? I've got my own show now, too. Join me each week as I discuss the latest news, trailers, and upcoming releases in the movie realm. And, you know, of course, do my review a thing. You can find the show on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Facebook, Twitter, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Just search Review It Rob. Check you soon.
Frozen 2 went to theaters on November 22nd, 2019, raking in with $127 million domestically and $350 million worldwide on opening weekend, breaking records instantly for the highest-grossing animated feature debut. It probably helped that it was the weekend before Thanksgiving. My son and I were part of that problem as we went the first weekend, if you can call it a problem, but it's Disney and it's Frozen, so let it go. 3 months later, Frozen 2 is now available to rent and to buy on Blu-ray, DVD, digital, 4K Ultra, whatever your poison is, on February 25th, 2020. A date I was anxiously waiting for in order to buy to watch again. I really wanted to watch this film again. As of recording, I probably watched it a total of 4 times already, just by renting it. So you can see where this review is going so far. I loved the first viewing in the theaters, despite the fact that I was highly distracted with my son since it was one of his first movies in the theaters. He just wanted to get up, get down, move around, dance in the aisles, and talk to the other kids. He's a very outgoing child. So, yeah, I was a little busy and distracted. He was mostly distracted when there was a lot of exposition and a lot of talking, but when the songs came on, he looked as if he was hypnotized. I mean, same.
Are you here to distract me so I make a big mistake?
Wow.
I missed some scenes here and there, but I instantly fell in love with the soundtrack, which I can't say the same for the first Frozen soundtrack. I mean, I felt goosebumps the first time I heard Let It Go, but like everyone else hearing it for the millionth time, I was over it. Can you feel my pain? The songs in Frozen 2 I had stuck in my head, humming along for days after watching it in the theaters. I searched for the soundtrack and played the songs over and over and over. I'm still listening to them 3 months later. I'm sure by now everyone has heard Into the Unknown by now, which is a great song, and many people I know seem to prefer Show Yourself to be the stronger single. But I can understand from the subject matter why it wasn't chosen to be pushed like Into the Unknown. I mean, think about the lyrics of the song. It does kind of give a spoiler to the ending. Just listen to the actual lyrics. That's why it wasn't being pushed to be the single. That's why it wasn't nominated. And I know it's the better of the two, but you kind of have to keep some things a mystery. Otherwise, everybody would know what's going on before the ending actually happened. So those are my 2 cents on why which song was pushed more than the other. Now, with the Blu-ray released, all these deleted scenes and songs are being revealed for bonus features, and I'm kind of digging this song called Get This Right that was sung by Jonathan Groff, who plays Kristoff in the movie. I'm obsessed, and I just want to sing it for karaoke one time with someone, just to sing Kristoff's version. I don't care. He kind of sings it with, Anna's in there a little bit as a duet towards the end, but be sure to check it out on the deluxe edition of the soundtrack if you don't want to buy the movie. You can find it on YouTube too, but you know you want to buy that soundtrack. But if you haven't seen the movie, there is kind of a spoilery thing in the song too of what happens in there, because it doesn't actually, how they wrote this song, this doesn't happen in the movie, but the same thing does happen. Just watch the film and you'll understand what I'm talking about, because it's really confusing. Anyway, I should actually get onto the review other than me saying I just loved it. Frozen 2 is definitely a sight for the eyes. Everything in this movie is just jaw-droppingly gorgeous. What the first movie did with the palette of blues and purples to signify a sudden winter, with pops of pinks and greens and blues from Anna and the rest of the characters, Frozen 2 went all out on highlighting the changes of the season of autumn by not only brightening the palette with orange, reds, yellows, and purples, but showcasing the landscape that we haven't seen from them before. Every background of this film is a beautiful work of art. From the architecture from Arendelle, the fjords to the valley they travel through, right down to the enchanted forest, you could take any of those stills from the background alone, frame it, and you will have your friends and family asking where you got it from, because it just catches your eye. The characters are remarkably stunning as well. After 6 years from the first movie to the sequel, it may not seem like a big difference, but the characters have all been improved. They still possess those horse-sized eyes, as Neil deGrasse Tyson had put it, but that is the style that Disney has right now. Plus, haven't you heard of the term Disney princess eyes? I know my husband tells me that I have those, but they have changed and they have been improved with high detail. You can take a screen cap of the film and zoom in on a piece of Elsa's clothing. You can notice all the stitching and the little details of her outfit. Anna's first look, which I like to call the harvest look, she has a couple pieces of wheat tied into her updo, and you can see the details of each piece of grain. It's jaw-dropping how much Disney has approved, not just from the 6 years, but just from Moana, which that itself was a huge step from Frozen with all the details and physics programming they discovered with hair and water. Believe me when I say everything in this film is eye candy. But what about the plot? You are probably wondering if it's good as the original, right? This is where I will take a left turn than everyone else that you heard reviews from. I think it's better. But that's just my own personal opinions for myself only. Don't take that for yourself. I could watch this movie over and over and over and not get sick of it, which I normally don't ever do with a sequel, especially a Disney movie sequel. Granted, we wouldn't have got the movie without the original story to lay the groundwork for. Frozen 2 doesn't work without the first to establish the characters and show their growth. Even though Frozen 2 does backstory very many times throughout the film, I just think as a whole with a story, animation, music, and charm, it's a win for me. I don't really know if not seeing the trailers, posters, or any kind of promotion for Frozen 2 has any hand in that, but I kind of have a suspicion that it does a little bit. For other moviegoers, for them, it isn't anywhere near as great as the first because let it go. That's seriously what some people told me and some comments on social media said. It isn't as great as the first Frozen movie because of the Let It Go song. They weren't talking about the new Frozen hit Into the Unknown. They were comparing the whole movie to that one song. While others said that there was just too much going on in the plot, especially for the second half. Despite the fact that I love this movie, I can admit that there are many flaws in Frozen 2. There is a definite major plot throughout the whole film that the main characters, Elsa and Anna, have to face and have a conclusion to. But unlike the first film, there is a heavy B-plot interwoven within the plot to have a place for Kristoff in the story. And in some moments, it does not make sense at all, and it seems rather forced and ingenuine given the stakes for the A-plot. It seems really silly and odd, but we do really get a good song out of it. I am lost in the woods, north to south, right is left. The song that I'm referring to is Lost in the Woods, which is a bop. Is that still a term? Am I just outdated by now? During this scene, I literally started laughing out loud in the theater, which resulted in all the toddlers around me to giggle along with me, probably making them think it was funnier than it actually was, but it's just an absurd scene that really doesn't fit in the film, it just comes out of nowhere. But it's just an absurd scene, and it doesn't really fit in the film, and it just comes out of nowhere. But it's total gold. I love it. I would be sad if it wasn't there anymore, but it's ridiculous. Another big thing about this film compared to the first one, it's a lot darker in tone, especially the second half of the film. Once our protagonists start to figure out the pieces to the main problem, it just kind of gets darker as time goes on. But Disney knows that little kids are watching, so they kind of insert Olaf a little more, but you know things are serious when B-plot disappears completely until the very end. Olaf has a much bigger presence in this film, which given the Olaf's Frozen adventure, or whatever that movie short was that played in the beginning of Pixar's Coco, Disney wants to push him hard because, you know, merchandise and money. He continues to play the comic relief and harshly speaking truce here and there like he did in the first, but they also made him more mature. Can you hear my air quotes? Just so you know, for a little context, Frozen 2 takes place 3 years after the first film, so you can tell Olaf was supposed to be the kid character with much more intelligence than from the just-been-born sentient snowman we were introduced to. But annoyingly, he is more self-aware than everyone else in this film. Then he plays innocent just a couple seconds later like he didn't know what he was saying. He will be the reason why small kids will like this film, other than Elsa and Anna. But I think he was played way too much in this film, and it got annoying towards the end. Like most Disney films, Even though I strive to do non-spoiler reviews, I need to mention a part of the story towards the end because I feel like even though it's a kid's film, this subject is really heavy and needs to be talked about and be aware of for new viewers. So I'm kind of getting into spoiler zone, but not really. You need to know this before you watch it. Like most Disney films, death plays a part of the story of Frozen 2, especially part of the second act. It shows characters dealing with grief and how death is handled amongst characters. Something Disney has done in the past, but in Frozen 2, it kind of feels heavier than other movies have used death before. Like Pixar's Up, which does take the whole movie for Carl to come to terms with it, among a slew of other things. But in Frozen 2, we get immediate responses to death and grief because of the stakes of the plot. It's heartbreaking to watch these characters react and try to deal with it, which will cause reactions in some people if they're still dealing with the subject of death right now. Kids may ask questions afterwards, curious about what just happened, especially since it will be fresh in their minds since it takes place in the second act. If you go look back at some of these Disney films, most of the deaths seem to happen in the first act or right before the second act, and then the protagonist kind of finds a way to have a happy ending towards the second act, despite the intense build-up of the climax. Even the first Frozen had the beginning be a big downer with the parents' death. Just so you know, no worries, there is a happy ending. It is Frozen, you're gonna have a happy ending. In the end, it kind of takes away from the gravity of the situation. It's kind of like, I don't know, you're pushing and pulling with emotions here. But Disney is right to resolve this, or else we will have some really bummed out kids and possibly some scarred adults. Just be aware that the subject of death is in this film a couple of times, and it goes boom, 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 right, one after another. So be prepared to gasp in surprise. Overall, this movie is about friendship and most importantly, love. A point that Frozen 2 rode hard in the first movie, but not just a love from a relationship kind, but the love and loyalty of family. Love was the answer. In Frozen 2, it's still about love, but different levels of love that happen throughout our life. Love and belonging. Love is also strength. It's a beautiful message for everyone, and everyone will take away from that. Overall, it's a fun journey to take with familiar characters again to see how or if they have changed. After they grew from what was a huge part of their lives and how they will react to a bigger problem, the second half of the film does feel rushed, which does for reasons pertaining to the plot, but also like there was too many ideas smushed together towards the end. Like the writers or editors didn't know what to end it with. It's much more mature and has darker tones than the first, so be aware of that when watching with kids. But the music is excellent and the whole film is gorgeous from beginning to end. It's a sequel to a Disney film that I recommend that you watch, unless you didn't like the first Frozen at all. Because if you didn't like Frozen, there's no reason for you to torture yourself and watch something that might get on your nerves. If you could take anything away from my review, buy the art book and buy the soundtrack and have a fantastic Frozen afternoon with it. But on a scale of 1 to 10, I give this film a 8, which is really high up because of the music and songs, which I have cranked so high I won't hear otherwise. But seriously, it will be a great buy. I have not bought the Blu-ray yet, but there are so many bonus features in there, including deleted scenes, unused songs, behind the scenes, sing-along version of the film, a skip to a song feature, which I will definitely use, a featurette on Scandinavian and Nordic mythology, Easter eggs, trivia, and more. I think the price tag of $25 or $30, depending on if you get Blu-ray or 4K Ultra, it's worth to get all the Frozen 2 that you can if you love the first film, and I'm sure you'll like the second one if you love the first one. Plus, you can share with a friend that digital download, because friendship's magic. Wait, wrong franchise. If you have seen Frozen 2, whether in the theaters or most recently through digital or Blu-ray, let me know what you thought of it. Did you love it? Like it? Did you think it was just okay or simply not your cup of tea? I would love to hear your thoughts on it and rank it for me from a 1 to 10 scale. Tell me who your favorite character was, old or new, and most importantly, which song are you singing in your head right now? Tweet me at DisflixTidbits or email me at DisflixAndTidbits@gmail.com. Anyway, stop now if you haven't seen Frozen 2 and don't want to get spoiled, because we are now heading into the spoiler zone. One thing I did want to talk about Frozen 2 that really bugged me about the movie, I know there are some plot issues that I've mentioned before, especially that B-plot I was referring to, which was obviously Kristoff's objective of trying to propose to Anna the entire film. That did bug me to an extent, mostly because Kristoff was such a grounded character in the first film, and they kind of squandered him to just a cliche, clumsy boyfriend in the film, and that was his only role. He did get some awesome scene and song of Lost in the Woods, but he could have been used a lot more. Looking through the deleted scenes, I noticed that the writers were going with another storyline where Kristoff moved into Arendelle and became a Lord of the Kingdom, which required him to dress up and go to royal meetings and all that, which Kristoff did not like because it wasn't him. I mean, in the first Frozen, he's just an ice deliverer and free to do whatever he wants and is comfortable in his own clothing and being outdoors and all that and talking to reindeer and singing to them. Being a stuffy lord in a castle wasn't him. A deleted scene and song, Get This Right, that I said that I was currently obsessed with, has Kristoff proposing to Anna in the beginning of the film, with storyboards showing him fumbling through the proposal in his lord gear and Anna ultimately proposing instead. Which I think is more of an Anna move, and I would have loved to see that in the film. Although the story would have had a fracture in Anna and Kristoff's relationship because he gets caught lying in the middle of the movie about loving his life in Arendelle, which would have been kind of too much with what was going on with Elsa and Anna. But the Kristoff storyline, I could say that I'm ultimately okay with, even though we didn't get that duet. But go listen to Get This Right. Darling, but I'm sweating through the seat of these pants.
Are you okay?
I had planned to read a poem. I thought I'd play a little lute. Ooh, here's a thing, I've got a ring I didn't bring. Oh, shoot! So this went very well. Good night!
Anyway, my biggest problem of Frozen 2 is the ending. There was huge stakes at the end with Elsa and Olaf dying to get the truth to Anna. By the way, why did Disney think it was okay to snap Olaf like that? That was brutal. There was some kids crying in that theater and I felt so bad. Anna stepping up despite losing everything and trying to do the next right thing by destroying a big piece of the past that caused all this strife, she has a huge decision to destroy that bridge in order to make things right with nature, the nature spirits, and the Northundra people. In doing so, would cause the destruction of her home. Home to many of her people, but she knew her people were safe. They were safe with the trolls, and they could always rebuild and start over. I think that's what she was thinking, and that ultimately led to her decision. Instead of letting those damn waters destroy Arendelle, that sacrifice that Anna and Elsa made in order to start over, they had Elsa swoop in at the last second to save that city, and I felt like they took away the stakes of Anna's decision and ultimately Elsa's sacrifice. I felt like Arendelle needed to be destroyed because they built up this decision to follow through with. The loss would have been a greater for all of them, and thus Anna's decision would mirror the ending of her ultimately becoming queen. There's even a deleted scene of what happens after Arendelle is destroyed, which showcases how strong Anna is by discussing that a new Arendelle would be a combination of Northundra and Arendellian people together. I just think Disney lost out on such a more impactful ending than what we had instead. But then again, maybe they changed it because it sounds very similar to the outcome of Thor Ragnarok.
What have I done? You saved us from extinction. Asgard is not a place. It's a people.
But after listening to myself review Frozen 2, the more I noticed that most of the things that I loved and hated about this film mirrors my review from Toy Story 4. The visuals are amazing, but something was lacking in the plot, and the ending wasn't as impactful as it could have been or should have been in my case. In a way, Toy Story 4 and Frozen 2 are very similar in a linear storyline type of way. Both Woody and Elsa are trying to find their own purpose, when what they are dealing with right now just isn't working. Toy Story 4 was jumbled because of way too many characters and trying to fit them all together, and Frozen 2 struggled with too many things going on. But we had the comic relief with Olaf and Frozen and Forky in Toy Story 4, and the well-known likable character that was forced into a B-plot so he could have some relevance with Kristoff and Buzz. I could be reaching a little bit here. All I'm saying, I'm not unaware of my bias for liking Frozen 2 more than Toy Story 4. I can admit that. Anyway, those were my nitpicky spoiler opinions on this film. If you have any controversial thoughts or opinions, let me know. I'm always curious about what others think about this film because other opinions make me a little bit more grounded in wanting to know how you thought of the film, if it needed a little bit more oomph, or did you see the flaws that I saw. In fact, I'm so curious about other opinions, I asked a couple of my friends what they thought about Frozen 2 as well. You may recognize them from episode 12, who I asked for help to review the trailer for me. So guys, we all want to know, what did you all think?
Sup nerds? Hello, my name is Danny Bogue. I am the host of the Average Diz Nerd podcast, and Cassie was kind enough to ask me to come onto the show just for a little bit and kind of talk about my thoughts on Frozen 2. It's funny that she brought this up because I've actually been thinking about the movie ever since it hit Blu-ray and digital recently. It is one of my favorite movies of last year. I mean, I run a Disney podcast, so I know that like I can skew Disney, but I'm just a film snob in general. And this movie, I gotta tell you, man, it really, really surprised me. For the first movie, I remember walking out of Frozen 1 and going, wow, that was such a good movie. I really think this is going to blow up. And then, of course, it did blow up, and then I got sick of it. Not because it's a bad movie. I still think Frozen 1 is a really good movie, but the popularity of Let It Go and everything like that kind of put me in a weird spot for Frozen 2 because I went, I know I'll probably like it, but I wasn't really hyped for it because, well, I just was sick of Frozen at that point. I walked out of that theater and was blown away with how much I loved about it. So let me give you some high-level things about some of my favorite moments. I remember walking out and saying to my friends, this is the movie kids deserve. I personally believe that kids don't get enough credit given to them when it comes to subject matter. I think that we can, well, use kid gloves when it comes to children. And I think that kids have such a capacity to understand, at the very least, accept strong ideas or themes. So the fact that this movie has an entire song about depression and about mental health and grief, it was incredible. Like that song by itself, I mean, hopefully we're in spoiler territory. Anna's song, I cried in that theater because I don't think I had ever really seen Disney represent that concept that much before. I think that's very telling. So I absolutely love that that is an aspect of this movie. Something else that is really interesting is that this movie doesn't really have a villain. It makes you think there's a villain, I guess, of some sort, and that there's going to be a big bad, or like there's going to be an other that you have to look out for as a audience surrogate. But there's not. The only, quote unquote, only, the adversity that the characters face are either in themselves or relationships with others or the world that they live in, forcing them to have these problems and these challenges. So I know some people bemoan the idea that we don't have an iconic villain like an Ursula, a Scar, Dr. Facilier, etc. And I do think that that's very valuable, but I think if you look at what life is today, there isn't always a bad guy. There's not always another person that's trying to get you. Sometimes real adult life is more complicated than that. So I love that they set you up thinking that there's going to be one, you know, boss battle, if you will. And there's not. There's really not. Just for one example, Elsa had to go on this adventure, and it's not like who she was fighting was she had to beat. Look at I'm struggling to remember the name, but the water horse. She didn't have to beat that water horse. She just had to understand it and go through this challenge and then come out the other end with a new ally. The other thing that I definitely want to talk about is the masculinity of Kristoff. I think a lot about how we view masculinity in this world and what messages we send to both boys and girls that are young about how to behave, how to act. Here's what's right, here's what's wrong. And for one example, we typically tell our younger boys to not feel things, well, that's for girls. Girls feel things, but boys, no, you have to be tough and you have to be strong. Whereas I think being tough and strong, I think talking about your feelings is tough, is strong. I think that that is something that boys of all ages need to hear. And I think it's important that girls see other boys, or in this case, men, experience that as well. So while Kristoff's song is on its face a bit of a joke because, you know, you're going for the 80s power ballad, on a more serious note, I love that Kristoff's song is genuinely, again, the same thing with Anna, is talking about one's feelings and one what one is going through. Which Disney's always done that. Musicals always do that. That's kind of what a musical is you kind of just break out into song when your emotion's so strong. But for him, it was about how much he loves Anna and how he feels like he's left out of the mix, which is, of course, a misunderstanding. And, like, I just find it very inspiring that, again, that this movie chooses to have a conversation, albeit a short one, about what masculinity is. Because even in there's one specific moment that I clocked watching the movie. In the climax, spoilers, in the climax when Kristoff is writing Sven to make it to Anna, what you would expect a fairy tale movie to do is to have Kristoff say, like, come in and save the day. But instead of coming in and doing something, he reaches his hand out to Anna and says, what do you need? And that is such an important thing to, I don't know, for so many people to hear and see in the real world. And he's still bad A, you know? Like, he's still a great aspirational character, but he does it in ways that are, in my eyes, given 2020, way more natural. That is what I think we should be striving for. I view him as a hero, but not in the traditionalist view of a hero. And then finally, I just love the music. I love the music so much. It is very Christmassy because, you know, it's a winter style movie. I hear it now, like I hear the first few chords of, gosh, I'm struggling to remember the names, but I hear some of this music and I go, yeah, I kind of get holidays vibes simply from hearing a little bit of this. It's been an earworm. It's been played in my house a whole lot, be it me and my girlfriend playing that on the HomePod. I absolutely love this movie. I'm tempted to download it on iTunes. I'm kind of waiting for Disney Plus, but it's hard because I really, really want to revisit this world again. Thank you so much for listening to me. If you want to hear more of me, I've got a podcast, Average Diz Nerd, wherever you find your podcasts. Love to have you join.
Hi, Cassie. Thanks for inviting me back to DizFlix and Tidbits. This is Keenan, one half of the Part of a World podcast duo, and I'm here to talk about Frozen 2. Now, I guess it was a year ago, roughly, where Cassie, you asked me to watch the first teaser trailer for Frozen 2 and kind of give a recap and my thoughts of it because you wanted to talk about it on your show, but you yourself was not going to spoil anything leading up to the Thanksgiving release of the movie. I hope that went well for you, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts. You reached out to me again and wanted to know, hey, what did I think? And kind of tie it back into the trailer. How did that go? So here are my thoughts. First of all, it was really kind of funny going back and listening to my reaction to that first trailer. Teaser, I guess I should say. Some things that I pointed out were that I thought that there were new characters, in particular a young boy and girl, and that the girl seemed to have some sort of power to control the wind. And I noticed that there were tons of action shots, and it seems like they were on some sort of adventure, and that even though they're together at some point, they ultimately end up separated. Now, before you continue, I do have to warn you, I'm going to talk about the movie. I'm sure you're already aware of this, considering you're listening to DizFlix and Tidbits review the movie. So, it turns out that I was actually kind of close to what was going on. My big miss was that the young boy and girl technically weren't new characters. They were actually Anna and Elsa's mother and father. And the girl didn't have any powers. Turns out that the wind that we saw swirling the leaves around was actually Gale, or at least that's the name given to that elemental spirit. But the rest was pretty true. It was a dark, kind of gritty film in some ways, but tons of action, epic adventure, and it was great. It was great. You know, if you might recall me saying a year ago that I liked Frozen 1, especially the music, but I wasn't really terribly hyped about Frozen 2. I didn't really think we needed a sequel until I saw the trailer. And then the trailer got me just so hyped. I think I said not so much as maybe Star Wars, Avengers Endgame, even The Lion King. I was really hyped about that. It's a bit of a letdown. It just wasn't on my radar that much until this trailer. And then it was like, man, I am super excited to go see this movie. Well, turns out the trailer didn't let me down. Somehow Disney is a master at giving us just enough to tantalize and make us want just to see these events unfold without giving major plot points away, which is really kind of amazing considering the opening shot of the trailer is Elsa preparing to cross these seas using her ice powers, and she keeps kind of getting knocked down by the waves. This was from the final act of the movie. It was leading up toward the climax. So, huge plot spoiler in the trailer, but they did a great job of just building suspense, leaving us wondering what is going on here. There are tons of things that the trailer didn't give away. We didn't know that it was 6 years later. We didn't know that Kristoff was preparing to propose to Anna. We didn't suspect that Anna and Elsa would really get closure about the parents. But we did have lots of theories. And one that I personally felt strongly about was that Elsa would meet others with powers like hers. And that was somewhat true. We had Bruni and Gale and the mountain giants. But I was pretty far off because I thought that A, it would be people, other people like Elsa, and B, I thought it would be representations of the four seasons, not the four elements. So that's kind of how things unfolded from the trailer. But overall, I think Frozen 2 was kind of a near-perfect sequel, and it gets better with every view. If you go and you listen to our episode where we review it, you'll notice that I initially criticized it for having kind of a convoluted plot. But I went and saw it a second time in the theaters, and a lot of it made so much more sense. There was tons of foreshadowing, and just I didn't feel like I was doing mental gymnastics to make sense of the plot. But by the third, most recently viewing at home, it was a pretty cohesive movie. And so I think it holds up to multiple viewings, but also gets better the more that you watch it. It's a more mature film. The songs are still fantastic. And I think it's really just a great cap to the series. That being said, I do suspect that one more movie will be made to make it a trilogy. And that's for two reasons. One, there's just too much money to be made. This franchise is huge. It is going to make them tons of money. Of course, they're going to keep doing merchandise. I'm sure they'll do shorts and stuff like that. But another major motion picture with the Frozen title is going to just slay. So that's, I think it's inevitable for that reason. I hope that I actually hope we see another sequel to close out a trilogy before we see something like a live action remake. But secondly, I think there's still a story to be told with that new connection between Arendelle and Northundra. There's a lot of things. They've built a really cool world, and I don't know what story necessarily they would go with, what the narrative would be, and Elsa's kind of new relationships and her new identity as stepping down from Queen of Arendelle and Anna stepping into that role. But I know there's a story to be told there, and I'm excited to see what they would hopefully do with it. I will say either way, if we never get a Frozen 3, we definitely need more Disney musicals composed by the Lopezes. Those are my thoughts. As always, I love to hear what people think. So not only am I going to tune in and make sure to listen to Cassie's episode on this, I would love to hear from you guys on Twitter. So I'm at POOW Podcast on Twitter. You can also interact with us on Facebook at Part of Our World Podcast on Facebook. So let me know your thoughts, and can't wait to hear what others have to say. Hope you guys enjoyed Frozen 2 as well.
Well, hello, everybody. My name's Benson. You can find me at Benson Cooler on Twitter, or youtube.com/ and stuff like that. I also have a Cooking with Benson channel, but it's fairly new, so it doesn't have its own cool little link to give you out. So my daughter and I did a trailer review / prediction when the Frozen 2 trailer came out for Cassie, so we're kind of back to give us a little quick take on what we thought of Frozen 2. Actually, just me. I will say my daughter didn't really pay much attention to it. Lots happened. You know, she's grown up a good bit since then, so she watched it, but she wasn't as interested in it as she had been with Frozen, because she was really young when the original Frozen came out. But my take on Frozen 2 is this. Decent movie. It was okay. Felt really rushed. I felt like it could have been either a longer movie or even two movies. It just felt like they tried to compact so much of what they wanted to tell of this story into this movie, and it just didn't feel cohesive at all. The songs were okay, but they're a lot more forgettable than the original Frozen movies. I will say Lost in the Woods is a fairly funny song, but beyond that, it was an okay movie. I don't know if it's rewatchable for me, just because I didn't really get invested in this one, and I really had high hopes for it because I thought the story was going to be a lot more adventurous than the last one, and it was in a sense, but not enough for me to really take it as serious or invest myself in it as much as I did the original. I will also say that the fact that there isn't a lot of merchandise for the little gecko salamander guy is kind of disappointing, because I thought he was kind of the cutest part of the movie. Like, he really kind of stole the movie for me, even though he didn't have much of a part in this. Like, I feel like there should be some fire salamanders and some rock giant merchandise for this movie, and I haven't seen anything personally, either in the parks or at the Disney store or anything, and that's kind of a bit of a letdown, because I think those were really cool. But anyways, that's just my little quick take on Frozen 2. Hope you guys enjoyed this one. Till tomorrow.
Thank you again to Danny from Average Disnerd, Keenan from Part of Our World, and Benson from And Stuff Like That for coming back to Disflix and Tidbits again and providing a review for the movie this time. I really do appreciate it, guys, and you're always welcome back. A small shout out to Tom from Hyperion Adventure podcast and Matt from the Love of the Mouse podcast, who have collabed together recently to make a hashtag Real Men Love Frozen t-shirt. You should really definitely check out that shirt. It's a really awesome design, and I love the fact that they're always pushing that hashtag. It's wonderful. And another big thank you to Tom and Michelle for the Frozen 2 D23 poster that I won in one of their giveaways. Tom and Michelle, it is absolutely beautiful, and it's currently in a temporary frame right now hanging in my studio that I'm staring at while I'm recording this. But that's it for this large Disflix tickets review of Frozen 2. Let me know what you thought of Frozen 2, if you saw it, or what you thought about this episode. I know my episodes are just sporadic right now, but there are more episodes coming with another Disflix tickets, of Pixar's Onward happening after I watch it opening weekend. You can find links to Average Disnerd, Part of Our World, and Stuff Like That, Hyperion Adventures podcast, and the Love of the Mouse podcast in the show notes, along with any additional links of information. You can also comment on this podcast by leaving me a review on Apple Podcasts or tag me on Twitter at DisflixTidbit. Remember, there's no S on the end of tidbit. Or if you're into emailing me, I am at DisflixAndTidbits@gmail.com. I have been Cassie, and I will see you at the movies. And that's a wrap.
I wanna make you swoon, baby. I wanna rock you with my righteous romance.
Disflix and Tidbits.